had a light, or rather, light had me. I was the one among the many, or at least I seemed to be. Well, I read an old quotation in a book just yesterday. Said you're gonna reap just what you sow.
All the good times we used to have, but you were making preparations for the coming separation, and you blew everything we had.
When you based your life on credit and your loving days are done, checks you signed with the loving kisses later come back signed insufficient fund. Can you get to that? Can you get?
I want to know.
I want to know.
Later come back, sign insufficient funds. How can you get to that, y'all?
Can you get?
I wanna know.
I wanna know if you can get to that. Can you get?
I wanna know.
I wanna know.
All right, that was Mavis Staples with In Your Right Mind. Looks like we just had a little bit of CD error there, so I'm gonna roll with it, because that's the way it is on a Monday night here. Cows FM 107.3 in Occidental, California. You can reach us by phone at 707-874-1073. I'm Moksha Lee, and in this show, we're going to have Susan Feinblum, who is a social worker, cranial sacral therapist, clairvoyant, et al. Shaman. She does a lot of incredible work, mind-body healing work, and I'm very excited to have her on the program today. And I'm just going to take a moment here to kind of allow you to kind of shift and get ready to be in your right mind. So I'm just going to invite you to go ahead and take a deep breath. There you go. Let your shoulders drop. And just kind of scan your day. See if there are any people that kind of pop out or situations. You might notice certain conversations that want to be finished. And all you can do is gently just take a deep breath. And as you exhale, just push that away. Let yourself just have a little space right now. See if you can feel your heart beating in your chest now. And when you can, when you key into your heartbeat, just tell yourself that you love yourself. Just say, I love you. And see if you can let that message really in. Really let that in. That's great. And then go ahead and just imagine connecting yourself from your tailbone all the way down to the center of the earth. It's a nice laser beam or a waterfall or a rope. Just create a tree trunk. Just create that image. Just let yourself be connected to the earth. That's great. And if you like, you can imagine the space that you're in to be a big tree trunk, that the floor is a huge tree trunk, and just let it ground. And when you're ready, you can just imagine the people who really help you in your life and just send a thank you. And go through your gratitude list right now. What great things happened today? What wonderful people do you feel lucky to know? Just take a moment and thank them. There may be some friends or family members that you're not really in touch with that you'd like to maybe connect with, and this is one simple way to do it. You just say hello to them, just from this space, when you're real calm. That's great, and when you're ready, you can just imagine collecting your energy. Just call your energy back from all the situations and people and things that you've done today. Just call it back. And like rivers of gold, it's just going to collect above you in a big gold sun. And that's just your creative life force. It's just yours. And when that sun feels nice and full and big, you can just bring it down into your body. Just resource yourself. Bring yourself back to the moment. That's great. I'm just going to take a few moments now, and I've got a Carolyn Mass, actually, that I lecture that I wanted to play for you today, so I'm going to put that on.
I have a lot of married friends. I've interviewed a lot of people over the years who are married, and everybody talks about how difficult, how, you know, it's work, a relationship is work, it's work, it's work. What is the difference between betraying yourself and compromising, because that's what right. you have to do to get along?
I'd say that a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Compromise is when you willingly, and out of love, say, that's it. All right, a little this, little that, little this, little that. But in a compromise, you don't go away feeling like I've betrayed myself. I've allowed myself, I've put poison in my mouth mm-hmm. here.
Okay, it goes back to exactly what you said earlier, that every choice is either going to enhance your spirit mm-hmm. or it's going to drain your spirit.
Right.
So if you have been compromised to the point where you feel drained or depleted,
right.
then you've betrayed yourself.
You have.
I mean,
the numbers of times someone will say to themselves, I want to get out of this circumstance, but I'm too afraid to take care of myself. So I will lie about how happy I am in this marriage. I will put up a front. I will lie about this. But they're betraying everything that's in their heart. They're betraying everything. When they say to me, am I on the right path? Here's what's true. You're on your right path. You're just not managing it that well right now.
You're never on the wrong
path? You're never on the wrong path. You're just not managing it well. You're making choices that are harming you.
Uh-huh.
And that's why it's hurting right now. You're making unwise choices, and your intuition is trying to tell you that.
You're making unwise choices, including the path that you're on right now.
Right, and the way you're managing the path you're on, and it's harming you.
Okay.
And when your life path begins to harm you, then we have to sit back and say, you've taken a detour.
You know, I just had an aha listening to you. I love it when that happens to me. I've often thought that and it's because of your use of the word betrayal, I've often thought, having experienced being betrayed by a close member of my family years ago, thinking that was the worst, that there's nothing worse than being betrayed. And just hearing you talk about it today, I think there's nothing worse than betraying yourself, that the worst, most ultimate betrayal is the betrayal to yourself.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, that was Oprah Winfrey and Carolyn Mass with How Do You Know When You're Really on the Right Path? And I think it's such important reflection to have, because sometimes we're moving so fast and just moving forward faster, 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 that we don't get a chance to really think, like, is this really what I want? Someone called it the glorification of busyness. And so I'd like to really take time to encourage people to slow down. Just think it's incredibly important. So that's their two cents and mine too. I'm Moksh Lee. This is In Your Right Mind, and I'm very pleased to introduce Susan Feinblum, who is a psychotherapist, a homeopathist, a shaman, a craniosacral therapist. She does so many things, and I'm really happy to have you on the show. Susan, are you there?
I am here. Thank you.
Wonderful. That's great.
Thank you for inviting me to be on the show.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. So I would love to know more. I mean, you have so many different licenses and specialties that you combine, and so I wanted to know what you started with.
I started with psychotherapy. I think that I was a psychotherapist from the time I was probably about 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't yet have a license.
At three.
But I think I was always walking around healing things, healing little plants, little animals. Still to this day, I say prayers when I see a dead animal on the road. I call for its mother and the supreme being, and I watch it until it's taken up out of its body and it knows it's dead.
Mm.
So little things like that. And then as an adult, I was told about Unity Church. This was probably about 40 years ago. And I heard Steve Halpern for the first time. And he did something. This was very new to me at the time. He showed slides of each of the chakras, quite large, like a movie screen, a great big circle, of the first all the way up to the seventh. And then he played his music, which was chakra clearing. I was not yet really familiar with that. Then he showed once again the same slides, and they were entirely different colors. At first I'm going, is that real? Is that what he really did? And then I realized from that how filtered our perception is by the energy imprints and the energy we're carrying. It was really quite shocking to me to see that a muddy brown was actually a yellow.
Mm.
So that was very impressive. And I heard of the Berkeley Psychic Institute and went for a reading, and it was very interesting to me that people knew things about me that I hadn't told them. I was completely new. So I became passionate about knowing, because my knowing had always been to choose from what people had told me.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, this possibility to see for myself and not just have the choice of what somebody's telling me, to choose best of what's offered. So I proceeded to take their clairvoyant and advanced clairvoyant, to take their trance medium, their 2 years of spiritual midwifery, hands-on healing. I just, it's my passion to go deep and to go into something and to go underneath it and then to go deeper than that.
Mm. So I wonder, like, as you were on this journey, if you noticed, like, a changing of the guard, so to speak, like family relationships changing, friendships changing. Did you notice that as you kind of took this transformation?
Entirely.
Yeah.
The first step as you start to open up the clairvoyant energy is arrogance, to go around reading everybody. So, of course, I lost a lot of friends because you're not invited to go read everybody. But the second step was that people were a little threatened by a newfound certainty. Mm. Oh, my goodness, I can look for myself. So people who weren't in agreement with what I'll call a level of freedom went by the wayside, and others stayed, and really a lot of new people were attracted to me. So, yes, my family, of course, stayed the same. Not my marriage, but the rest of my family.
And so you started social work and then combining clairvoyance with social work. Is that right?
Yeah. What happened is in psychotherapy, because I had already been a psychotherapist for some years, was that I began to see. As I began to see more, I could see the difference between somebody's words and their energy. I could see when they were congruent. I could see roots to the current issues they were talking about. And I began to use, over the years, the maps of similar meditation from the meditation you opened the show with is so beautiful, because the difference between connecting to heaven and earth and slowing down is the difference between taking somebody's the best of what's offered. For instance, in a class, I might say, what's your favorite color, red or blue? And very quickly, most people answer red or blue, but always one person in the class says, wait, neither of those is my favorite color. One person really references themselves as opposed to just what's offered. So I started to be able to see where energy was tangled, where it was vacant, where it had imprints that were out of affinity with the person that created their self-image. A lot of information came through that was beyond the content of what was spoken. And at this point, that's the heart of my psychotherapy. I always take people into a meditation so they begin to connect on, you can say, heaven and earth, or you could say a vertical alignment where they're getting in touch with their very own information and they're able to release. Many times people come for therapy who have already worked and gleaned a lot of insight into their issues, but they don't have any concept of release. Because our culture is a very accumulating culture. It's not really taught release when you're done with something to just completely let it go and move on. There's a lot of fear attached to completely letting go and moving into something unknown. And of course, that's really what we're doing all the time. We're moving into something unknown, even called the next moment.
Right. It's interesting because I remember doing a meditation on someone was directing me to think about create and then destroy. Mm-hmm. And destroy has such a negative energy to it, right? But you're really saying release.
Yes.
Right? That's what you're saying. But you're saying have a lot. We hold on. It's very true.
And one time I think I heard Deepak Chopra talk about how the thoughts we have so many thoughts in a day, 90-some-odd percent of them are the same as the day before, the same as the day before.
Wow.
Over 90% of them are cultural thoughts. They're not your personal thoughts. So my therapy is really geared to someone who wants to know themselves and is open to their very uniqueness, open to letting go of consensual reality, which says that's ridiculous, you couldn't do that, you couldn't be an artist, you won't make any money, you couldn't be ... So it's really geared toward the courage to take the stands that you want to take and spend your life where you want to be spending it, to know deeply what's true for you and what's not true for you.
Yeah, which I think is what good psychotherapy is anyway, right?
Hopefully.
Hopefully, right. It's not just a control game. It shouldn't be anything about control, but yeah, that's wonderful.
Some of that has to do with people learning about where their attention is. In one of the years of my training in clairvoyance, we were about to learn out-of-body healing, and I was so excited. I can't wait to learn out-of-body healing. This sounds so great. So we sat in a clairvoyant line, and a woman sat in front of us, and we were told to go into her space and clear her space. And so I did that, and when I came back, what I realized is that's what we do all the time. We always climb into somebody else's space, invited or not. So really what we were learning was how not to do that.
Right.
Was a very graphic exercise in how we essentially leave our body even to listen to somebody else talk. We give them all of our attention, and we forget to keep a little attention and discernment with ourselves. Am I breathing? Am I grounding? Am I able to be with me while I'm also with this person? Or do I have to give away all of my attention to be with them? So a lot of psychotherapy in some ways is tracking your energy, tracking what are you doing with your energy. Are you giving it away? When someone says something to you, does it hit a knee-jerk reaction because you have a wound in there, a wound stuck on a cellular level, an organ level. And so what happens is you're responding from the wound on automatic as opposed to finding your genuine response.
Right. Yeah, that's true. It's actually, I remember one of my teachers saying, you know, people keep wanting to have these out-of-body experiences. Really, they need to have an in-the-body experience.
Exactly. And I was like, that's so what we true. Don't have. And what you can see, to me, beauty is you see someone walking around fully alive. Mm-hmm. Fully alive. I watched that movie, Shall We Dance, with Jennifer Lopez. Mm. And I went, oh, my God, that woman is so alive.
Right.
There's so much vitality. People look different when their energy is in their body. They tend to shine their beauty.
Yeah, they have a glow.
Yeah, they have a beautiful glow.
Yeah, and I think that's charisma, too. Is that's,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very attractive. It's a very attractive thing.
Okay. Susan Feinblum, that's great. We're going to come back. I got a song for you, God is Alive, Magic is Afoot.
Right.
We'll play that on by Buffy St. Marie, and we'll be right back.
God is alive, magic is afoot. God is alive, magic is afoot. God is afoot, magic is alive, life is afoot. Magic never died, God never sickened. Many poor men lied, many sick men lied. Magic never weakened, magic never hid. Magic always ruled, God is afoot. God never died. God was ruler, though his funeral lengthened, though his mourners thickened. Magic never fled, though his shrouds were hoisted, the naked God did live. Though his words were twisted, the naked magic thrived. Though his death was published round and round the world, God did not believe. Many hurt men wondered, many struck men bled. Magic never faltered, magic always led. Many stones were rolled, but God would not lie down. Many wild men lied, many fat men listened. Though they offered stones, magic still was fed. Though they locked their coffers, God was always served. Magic is afoot, God rules, life is afoot. Alive is in command. Many weak men hungered, many strong men thrived. Though they boasted solitude, God was at their side. Nor the dreamer in his cell, nor the captain on the hill. Magic is alive, though his death was pardoned. Round and round the world, the heart would not believe. Though laws were carved in marble, they could not shelter men. Though altars built in parliaments, they could not order men. Police arrested magic, and magic went with them. For magic loves the hungry. But magic would not tarry. It moves from arm to arm. It would not stay with them. Magic is afoot. It cannot come to harm. It rests in an empty palm. It spawns in an empty mind. But magic is no instrument. Magic is the end. Many men drove magic, but magic stayed behind. Many strong men lied. They only passed through magic and out the other side. Many weak men lied. They came to God in secret, and though they left him nourished, they would not tell who healed. Though mountains danced before them, they said that God was dead. Though his shrouds were hoisted, the naked God did live. This I mean to whisper to my mind. This I mean to laugh with in my mind. This I mean my mind to serve till service is but magic, moving through the world, and mind itself is magic, coursing through the flesh, and flesh itself is magic, dancing on a clock, and time itself, the magic length of God.
Okay, that's Buffy St. Marie with God is Alive, Magic is Afoot. And this is Cows FM at 107.3 in Occidental, California. I'm Moksha Lee. This is In Your Right Mind. We broadcast live Monday nights here, and you can listen to us on the web at kows.fm. And you can also coincidentally donate if you wish. There is a PayPal button, and we definitely rely on supporters like you. And if you like the show and you want to hear some podcasts, you can go to inyourrightmind.wordpress.com and listen to some great shows. I've got Thomas Moore. I've got Michael Mead on there. I've got some great interviews that I think you might really enjoy, so go ahead and check it out. And I've got a little PSA here. On Friday, July 26th at 8 p.m., the Occidental Center for the Arts is proud to present a unique multicultural event, The People's King, a musical tribute to Bhutan, by Toronto-based composer and acclaimed jazz pianist Noam Lemesh. This concert-like suite, now arranged at four and performed by Lemesh and his quartet, integrates jazz, classical Western music, traditional Bhutanese folk music, and recordings of the original chanting monks. An audio-video presentation about the music and culture of Bhutan precedes the concert, which is premiered at the 2011 Healdsburg Jazz Festival. So come and see this Friday, July 26th at 8 p.m. in the Occidental Center for the Arts. Sounds wonderful. Okay, and now we are back with Susan Feinblum. There you are.
Hello.
Great. Susan, before we forget, how do people find you on the web? What is your website name?
It's www.susanfeinblum.com.
Okay, susanfeinblum.com. Got it. Okay, and so you were talking about how you started to combine psychotherapy with clairvoyance, and then I see that you have homeopathy and shamanism, craniosacral. Like, what brought you to those other disciplines?
As I got deeper into clairvoyance, I got very interested in the body, in the chakras that were lodged in the 5th, 6th, and 7th, the cranium, and I wanted to study cranial sacral work. So I began to study with an osteopath. First, I studied the spine, where the rest of the chakras are lined up along the spine, and the 5th chakra, your voice, your telepathy, the 6th chakra, your clairvoyance, and the 7th, your direct connection to God. Became very important to me to know how do these wake up, what happens when you work with them. And I began to see a very strong connection between the body, the pineal gland, connected to the visual cortex, also connected to the cerebrospinal fluid, somewhere between the etheric and the physical body. It is physical techniques, but it also works clearing of the chakras. Mm. I experienced a cranial sacral session where all of a sudden I was at the Red Sea, and these memories I experienced directly, collective memories that weren't mine. I experienced during one session a clear memory of my father as a child when I wasn't even alive, and I opened to new dimensions of what we house in ourselves. So I became very interested in cranial sacral work. I now teach it and do it, and it's beautiful to watch the opening, to watch things that are static return to movement. To me, static and movement is a big description of ill health or health. When something is static, the pictures and belief, whether it's physical, whether it's a sphenoid bone connected to Christ consciousness, connected to your pineal and pituitary, if it's static, energy is not moving in there and you're not going to be able to see. And so the pictures that keep it static, whatever beliefs you have in your self-image or about the world, will become places that attract life experience that is similar to the static picture. Mm. So when something returns to movement, again, it relates to what you were saying about creating and destroying. When something returns to movement and the old picture belief releases and the static concept returns to a freedom, opens the door again, then we start to have healing. So it became a tremendous venue for healing, and it's perfect for the kind of work I do. I like a lot of stillness, and cranial work has a lot of following of subtle rhythms. So you can get quite deep doing quite little because you're not invoking somebody's resistance. You're moving with their subtle rhythms. So it's a very beautiful system. I've studied a lot of kinds of body work that remains to me
the deepest acting. And then shamanism, I heard about a class Elliot Cowan was teaching, and in plant spirit medicine. And this class had to do with journeying, shamanic journeying to meet plants, and a combination of that and acupuncture, acupressure. And so I began to study that and learned how to go meditate with the plant, how to dream with the plant, and how to journey, do a shamanic journey with the plant. And that opened the world to me. When I walk around and I see a plant that I've journeyed to, I know it, and it knows me. I can watch it energetically turn toward me. I can watch its flow. I can watch all the plants around it that are of that kind turn toward me with recognition. The world became alive in a very real way, in a very real way. Our co-creation with plants, with animals, with the planet, our reverence for the ecosystem and the planet all became alive in a direct, experiential way. And so I began to study shamanism with different people, took trips to Siberia, to Nepal, meeting with shamans. I've hosted some shamans from Nepal and one from Tuva here on my land. And it's really beautiful. It's just such a direct experience of the universe, animate. Everything is alive. It wakes up this very deep reverence for life.
Wow. Well, and that must be really something for those who are going through deep grief and depression, that, you know, they've lost that, like a spark, a resonance, really, with life.
Yeah.
You know, they're so numbed.
Yeah.
And so being able to activate that for someone must be pretty transformative.
It's very wonderful, because being stuck when somebody's in grief, there's two main things you want to look at. One is somebody stuck on a picture, which is one degree of possibility, and they've closed the other 360 degrees, and they're just stuck on one. And they're stuck on one that's either their own picture or it's an imprint. We're stuck on somebody else's point of view that's been so placed into us that we don't know the difference between that and ourselves. That's the heart of where my psychotherapy is aimed. To begin with, we need to differentiate imprints. Oh, when I'm pregnant, I already know what my baby will be. Things of that sort.
Right.
Many imprints, many that come from parents, from culture, from religion, all kinds of imprints. It's actually rather fierce work to get to know yourself.
Yeah, it challenges actually the assumptions you have. Like, well, of course, you know, I'm this age, so my life is going to be about this.
Right.
And that's another part of programming.
Yeah. It's very interesting. In my personal life, we were all supposed to be teachers. And as it turned out, I did everything but teach. And now I'm a teacher. I teach clairvoyance. I teach transmediumship. I teach shamanism. I teach cranial. So it's kind of funny how I came back to that in my very own way,
nice.
Not what was anticipated.
Nice. And so, you know, you and I were talking a little bit about you know, some of the common themes that come up for you in therapy. And I had mentioned abundance, and you had said some really interesting things about prosperity and abundance and that kind of consciousness. And I'd love it if we could go into that for a bit.
Sure. Part of it is really part of the meditation that you guided at the beginning. Abundance is the ability to have this vertical alignment and tap into the universe through the crown chakra, through the top of the head. Mm-hmm. In all of the work that I do, I reference the chakras, and it's fine if somebody doesn't know anything about them, doesn't matter, and I reference meditation. When we start to align ourselves heaven to earth, also what you referred to as creating and destroying, we begin to release old concepts that were in what I'll call a horizontal alignment, where instead of paying attention to my own information, the earth, and releasing, I'm listening to what people tell me, and that's what I'm believing. So part of abundance is coming out of the limits that have been preset. No one in our family can have more than such income. No one in our family can really find true love. No one, all of those things that are explicit or implicit in the family. When we connect to the universe, to the heavens through the crown chakra, we begin to align to our own spiritual nature. And we also align to this vast array of information. Our crown chakra is to harmonize our energy with all that's in the universe, to find what's relevant for us and bring it in. So when we begin to do that, we tap into limitless possibilities. There really are no limits except those that we're bounded by our belief system. And that's not saying something light and frivolous. Our belief systems are very, very strong. What I noticed in all of my years of the training is that I began to notice, oh, look, I'm up against this belief. Oh, that's funny. That was really a lie for me. Then years later, I'm up against this belief. That was really a lie for me. I was just teaching in New York, and I had this beautiful scarf, and I had a shirt that was one kind of print, and the scarf was another, and I had the belief, these two don't go together. And all the people from New York were laughing at me. They go, no, fashion's here, very different. You're totally allowed to wear that. It was a silly little thing, but it reminded me that there was one other little belief that I was committed to, that I was unconsciously just living out. And so it's very interesting for us, each time we recognize a belief that has a limit, and then we can create and destroy it, we can imagine it in front of us and blow it up, we can go cancel. Cancel is kind of from neurolinguistic training, and it's very powerful. Because sometimes we put forth a thought, like let's say the thought, I can't have that. And when we realize we put it out, a thought and then the word starts a creative process. Right. And essentially what we're creating is, I can't have that. So when we use the words cancel, or we imagine putting that in a bubble and popping it, destroying it, we don't grow that thought. We don't amplify that thought and become that thought. Instead, we cancel it out. We go, I'm taking charge even of my thinking. I'm no longer willing to grow that. I want to make different choices. Mm. So very powerful, powerful kind of thing is clearing the belief system, clearing the choices you make, clearing even the thoughts that you no longer want to grow. What happens is, once we've amplified a thought over and over, look in the mirror, I'm ugly, I'm ugly, I'm ugly, over the years, I'm ugly, I'm ugly, I'm ugly. What happens is that thought starts to almost become a force, a gaseous force around us. It starts to have a life of its own because we've fed it so long. So what happens is, we decide not to think that anymore, but it thinks into us. Mm-hmm. So we actually need to destroy old thoughts, and we need to be conscious enough. Sometimes I think of myself as a tracker, to track that in the course of the day. To say, oh, whoops, found myself doing this. My homework today is to track negative thoughts that I no longer want to grow. Whoops, there's one. Cancel. There's one. It's fierce work, because we have so many that we don't want to grow.
Right. That's great. That is great. Susan, thank you so much for that perspective. I know that that's going to help some people. I think that a real simple one is like, oh, I can't afford that.
Right.
And just kind of immediately go and cancel, and just say, that's not in my budget right now.
Right.
And just kind of letting yourself kind of put that, now I can't do that. I think that's pretty powerful, just
exactly.
To at least say, you know, okay, someday I'm creating that.
Creating that.
Very good. Okay. We're going to be right back. I've got Jai Uttal Guru Brahma right now. And this is Cows FM 107.3, In Your Right Mind.
Akanda mandala karam Vyaktamjena characharam Tatpadam darshitam jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Timirandasya Nananjanan Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha
Actually, this is In Your Right Mind. I've got a quick PSA here. West County Health Centers is celebrating National Health Centers Week at the Sebastopol Community Health Center Open House with our many friends and supporters. This year's theme is celebrating America's health centers, transforming healthcare in our local communities. A silent auction and tours of our facility will be provided. The program for the evening will begin at 5:30 p.m. And we would love, West County Health Centers envisions a community where all residents have medical home and people are empowered to build healthy lives and communities. Go ahead and visit them at wchealth.org to learn more. So it's going to be, the health center is going to be August 9th at 5:30, just so you know. Okay, and we're going to go back here to Miss Susan Feinblum. And you were going to talk about helping people discover the difference between a truth and a lie.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about a lie as not being exactly what we think, where somebody is just lying to you. Right. But a lie is also a belief you have that's not really your belief and it's not really true for you. Or if I say something to you that's very true for me and I put it as if it's true for you too, that may be a lie in your space. And many times our self-image and our beliefs are really based on imprints, and in some way they're a lie for us. What happens is that when you hear something true, hey, I'm talking on the radio, it just goes right by to the next sentence. Nothing in you needs to grab it or fix it or wonder about it. But if I say we're at the beach and there's this beautiful sand and there's this mop hanging upside down in the air, something in us feels like something's wrong. What's wrong with that? And our bodies tend to respond to that. Our bodies are truth tellers. So I wanted to give you like a little exercise so that you could begin to identify what's a lie just by listening to your body.
Great. Yeah. Go ahead.
So if you close your eyes, anyone listening, just close your eyes and tune into your body. And I'm going to say three lies. I'm not talking right now. The air is full of charcoal. Grass is growing on the ceiling. Tune into your body and notice if anything tensed. Just notice if anything's tensed. And now I'm just going to say three truths. I'm talking to you on the radio. Moksha's hosting the radio show. You don't know this, but I'm sitting at a desk in my office. Three truths. And notice the difference in your body. Did you notice anything, Moksha?
Yeah, it's interesting. It was like when you told the first three lies, it was like something had shut off inside of me. It felt like a hardening.
Yeah.
And then when you told the truths, I just kind of softened up and felt, safer, I guess.
The energy returns to movement with the truth. It just moves and you go on to the next thing. Something stops with a lie. Mm-hmm. And when you tune into that, a wonderful exercise is simply to sit and tell yourself a few lies and really get familiar with what your body does. Mm. Frequently, the third chakra, this is the energy center. Chakras are the organs of the energy body. And the third chakra, which is based at the diaphragm, the solar plexus, is about your personal power. It's about your ability to take in energy from the universe, prana, chi. And it's also where people connect into you with control energy. Mm. So sometimes we use our personal power to know ourselves and to be true to ourselves. Some people use power to try to manipulate other people. So the third chakra is particularly sensitive to a lie and to something trying to control you, whether it's a belief or a simple statement. And many times its normal spin will stop. It'll come to a grinding halt or even start to spin backwards. Mm. Many people feel it in their abdomen, around the third chakra diaphragm or something in the abdomen slightly tense. So really, as you're getting to know yourself deeper and deeper, it's a beautiful thing to start to recognize a lie. There's no command to comment on it. There's no command about your behavior. You're waking yourself up. You're becoming awake on a deeper level to your internal truth. So it's a powerful exercise just to begin to recognize that.
Yeah, and I think if you were just to try and give yourself just a little bit of practice with that, a couple times a week or daily-ish or whatever, just tune in.
I'm very big on meditation. All of my sessions take someone into a light meditation so they can look deeper than they're used to looking internally. When we look internally, we start to recognize more of our truth, and we start to sort out the difference between imprints, other people's truth, and our own. We start to recognize things we just simply hadn't paid attention to because we didn't go inward. We were always having our attention outward.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to say, just getting back to the cranial work, it applies to homeopathy, and it applies to my therapy. So I wanted to just introduce the word indirect. In structural work, indirect is when somebody's, let's say, has a vertebra subluxated a little bit out. Indirect means you take it ever so slightly further that way so that the entire body gets recognition of what it does, and it rebounds itself. Mm-hmm. Homeopathy is indirect. You would give someone a potentized remedy that in its herbal form would create the condition they have, would create, let's say, the diarrhea and vomiting, arsenic. But potentized enough, it has no substance. So you give the same or similar to somebody that creates a healing response. To me, in psychotherapy, that's the word hello, just going deeper into who someone is, going deeper and deeper. There's no fixing someone. There's no fixing. There's the deeper recognition of truth. And when two consciousnesses meet in the same point without any defensiveness, there's kind of an instantaneous release of energy. And that's the beauty of indirect. It's not fixing someone, healing them. It's bringing consciousness, helping their consciousness get deeper and deeper into where their challenges are, where their issues are, and who they are as a being, ultimately, to let their brilliance shine, let their light shine. It's quite a path in this culture, which really isn't basically a spiritual culture. It's more religious, where there's an intermediary between you and spirit. To break through, to know your own spirit-to-spirit communication is still pioneering here. And that's where clairvoyance psychotherapy, that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And you were telling me that in your sessions, you don't necessarily mix modalities. Like you'll give one session a pure, maybe homeopathic consultation, mm-hmm. right?
What happens is that if we're trying to look at energy and we quickly go to the table and we lock, a few minutes here, a few minutes there, it doesn't go as deep. I prefer to go deep and go deeper and deeper. So I like either a whole session on the table or a whole session in front of me. So I tend to not mix modalities, but I do use different modalities with the same person in different sessions.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds great, because I'm sure there are so many people who are involved in some type of therapy. Like if they're getting body work, they may really want to talk through the process.
Yeah.
And if they're in psychotherapy, maybe they want someone to help them release some of the trauma that they've experienced in their body.
Yeah. And one of the things that we start to discern as we go deeper into ourselves is the difference between something coming in and something coming out. If you've had a trauma that's already happened and you go deep into yourself, you begin to release it, but what happens is you will feel it on the way out, nothing like it was on the way in. But there'll be some memories, there'll be some emotions coming up, maybe some physical discomfort as it comes out. And the difference is when something traumatic is coming in, you need to know what to do, how to deal with it. When it's coming out, you just need to breathe and let it be. You need to not resist it. So very different kind of skills. And to begin to have the certainty as you know yourself, to know the difference.
Right. Right. And how do you help people with resistance? Because I think that's a big piece of why they're afraid to release, is that they don't want to experience that pain, and then they resist.
Yeah, exactly. And to point out, to sit with someone and have that consciousness where their consciousness is and hold space so someone can begin to release and create a safe space. It's a very big thing to set an energy, to set a sacred space, to imagine the whole space grounded, to imagine the whole space connected to the Supreme Being, to imagine the whole space full of love and full of permission. And when people come to my office, it's already set that way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a safety for someone to begin to release. Once someone releases past the resistance, they have that knowing of what it's like to go through something and come out the other side. Once you have that over and over, it's kind of like in a relationship with someone. You have an argument, and then you see, wow, we healed this. We negotiated something, and both of us were really eager to love one another. So we were right there, and we went through it. Then the next time it happens, that happens again. And then finally, there's trust. Hey, we hit an impasse, but I know we'll get through it because I trust this person. We've been through it before. The same with hitting resistance. We hit resistance. We hit a little fear. We breathe through it. We get into a very safe space where we feel comfortable moving through it. And then we know, whoa, I moved through that one. And the next wave comes. And we start to trust that process. Sometimes we need help at the beginning to just experience that process, experience going through it where it peaks and where it comes out the other side.
Yeah, I think it's the relationship ultimately that heals. Like when you can experience that difficult time with somebody and get through it together, that's actually a very important part of putting yourself back together to wholeness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are, as a spirit, we love communication, we love interaction, we love relationship, and we love truth.
Yeah.
And we love freedom, the freedom to experience our truth,
to
come into that vertical alignment with Supreme Being, with spirit, with a direct spirit relationship,
right.
And the freedom to release.
Right. I think people, you know, like they'll use a psychic or some kind of healer and they'll just get the hit, right? Like, oh, I just need to feel better now. And they'll get that. But I don't know that they realize that if they were to continue that relationship weekly or monthly or however, that they would then kind of hit some peaks and valleys that would really give them a longer lasting sense of togetherness, of wholeness.
Very much so. Very much so.
So you've got some classes coming up this fall, is that right?
Yes, I have my clairvoyant class coming up the second weekend of September. It meets for 8 months, one weekend a month, and it goes through a very deep process with all of the eight chakras, the seven in the body and the eighth above the body. It's very deeply personal and a lot of practice of clairvoyance, looking at oneself, developing some of those abilities, clairvoyance, telepathy.
Wonderful. And you have a book coming out soon as well?
Yes. I also have cranial class coming up September. And I have Unwinding the Soul is a book of poems that I published a few years ago, which you can get from me. And the new book is the book of the work I've been doing for years. It's called Clairvoyance and Psychotherapy. And it's just a manuscript now, seeking a publisher. So it's going to be out in a little while.
Oh, gosh, I hope that gets published soon. Yeah, definitely, because that could go. I think that could really help quite a few people.
Yeah, that will explain quite a lot and give a lot of exercises as well.
Wonderful. Susan Feinblum, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Of course. I want to direct people to your website, susanfeinblum.com. She's got some classes coming up this fall. Go check out her site and support this woman doing such amazing work. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you so much, Moksha.
Yeah. And I'm Moksha Lee. This is In Your Right Mind. We're going to go to Share the Moon with Indigo Girls right now.
I can go one day without calling, 2 days without bawling, 3 days without missing, but a lifetime of no kissing you. Something that I just can't do. I wish I could be there to share the moon. I got more back for the breaking, more callous for making, a lifetime for the aching. I got no need to run this battery down.